I achieved everything I wanted, and I was kind of lost after that. You know, you get your dream and you're living it, and then what next?
Today, I am pleased to introduce to you a young man who's been in Japan for a little while, and he's had quite an experience since he's been here. And I was able to contact him in social media. We got together, we talked before this podcast one day, and then he came back again to do the podcast. And I am pleased to introduce to you Alex.
Hi, Lance. Good morning. Thanks Alex. For having me. Well, I'm back.
You're back. I'm back. Yeah. Let's start off with the same thing I started with everyone. Sure. Where were you born?
New Jersey.
Yeah. But you told me, because we talked before, that you didn't stay there long, did you?
No, I just remembered after our conversation that on my third birthday, then we moved to New York.
Okay.
So I really have no memories of Jersey.
New Jersey,
yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I grew up in upstate New York, just 30 minutes outside Manhattan.
Tell me, were there many Asians where you grew up?
My school officially had, I think, around 11% Asian population in school.
Were they close with each other?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that was a big part of growing up, right? You know,
was it really?
Like, you know, you find your clique, right? And
right.
And you associate with people that look like you, I guess.
Right. Tell me what their ethnicity was.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, mostly Koreans and Filipino. I was one of two, I think, Chinese in my class. And
did they make any distinction about it?
No, you know, at that age, you know, we just look the same. So, you know.
This is elementary school you're talking about?
Elementary, well, that continued all throughout, really.
Really?
Yeah. But then also, you know, we're just 30 minutes outside the city. So every weekend or so, we would go into Chinatown. And I would see the rest of my family, or my grandmother, and you know, family friends.
They really tight?
Yeah, we were always down there for events. You know, birthdays, weddings, some kind of banquet.
What are some of your childhood memories when you were like, say, elementary school that you still hold on to that you liked about being in Chinatown or just growing up?
You know, there was one really interesting story because I just went back. Few months ago, and I was talking to my grandmother, who's 96 now, and she has a memory of me, and I also remember this day, but she used to work in Chase Manhattan Bank, and she was the first Asian ever hired there, right? And she has an amazing story, but I was there for her retirement, and I actually remember that day. I must have been, I don't know, I was definitely in early elementary school.
So how old would you have been?
Six or seven.
And what year was that? Do you know the year? What year would that be?
That was early 90s. Probably just around 90, actually.
And she just got her retired from Chase.
Yeah, so she retired from Chase. They had this big party for her. And I remember she was like dressed up, and she, like, you know, one of the managers or directors was giving a speech, and they gave her some kind of present, I don't know, probably a watch or something.
Right.
And yeah, I remember that day, and that was one of my earliest memories too. And like, I thought that was cool. I didn't think of it in terms of race or anything.
Right.
But at that time, I was just like, oh, it's my grandma. People are having a party for my grandma. Like, that's pretty cool. And
yeah. Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have two sisters, two younger sisters.
Two younger sisters. How many years difference between you and them? Or the youngest? You and the youngest?
I'm the oldest. Yeah.
I know, but how many years between you and the youngest?
3 years and 5 years. Yeah.
So 3 years and 5 years.
Yeah.
Are you guys close?
We used to be, but we've grown up, and you know, one of them's in England, the other one's in Texas now.
Oh, okay. So demographically, you're not close, but I mean, but you guys talk and stuff. When you get together.
When we get together, we do. Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I did keep up with that. And, you know, probably after this, I'll just reach out to them.
Right.
Yeah.
When they see this, they're gonna.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're calling me out.
What are you talking about? We used to be close.
Yeah, I gotta come back with, you know, show you the proof.
So tell me this: do they have children? Are they married?
Yeah. Well, one of them is married and just had a child. He was born this year. And yeah, we haven't met him yet. We've been doing, you know, kind of Zoom calls.
Okay.
And exchanging videos, you know, because my kids are close to her kids' age.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's the one next to you, the sister's 3 years
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. The youngest one's not married yet, but probably soon.
Oh, it looks like she's gonna get married soon.
Yeah, she's been with this guy for a while, so
okay, yeah.
They live together.
Okay,
yeah, you know, they have a dog, so
all right.
it's a stepping stone, right?
Yeah. So growing up, what kind of sports were you, more academic or were you more sports minded?
I was. I danced.
You danced?
Yeah.
As in elementary, you were dancing.
Oh no, elementary. What did I do?
I'm sitting there.
You're starting there.
Yeah. And then take you through.
I guess you could say I was academic, but that was barely. You know, if I had to choose between the two, yeah, I guess I was more on the academic side. But I really loved basketball in junior high. You know,
junior
middle school.
School, right.
Yeah.
Did you get good grades? Were you good?
I did.
What was the stereotype of Asian?
You know, I lived up to that stereotype.
So what
right?
was it? What was it?
You know, that we all get good grades and we're all good at math and you know we're not good at sports and. Yeah. Oh, you know, so this is interesting, right? Because I really wasn't good at sports.
Okay.
And I was always the slowest and I was always, you know, shortest and
right,
you know, whatever.
Okay.
But then I read a book later, a long time later, like, you know, Outliers.
Right.
Malcolm
That's
Gladwell.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. And he talked about LeBron James being a year older than the rest of his classmates, right? And that gave him an advantage and, you know, built his confidence and,
That's right.
and all that.
That's right.
I had the opposite. I was a year younger than everybody because I was born in October, and you know the cutoff date is
yeah October what
19. Yeah,
we share that as well.
Oh yeah,
my father put me in a year earlier than everyone else.
Okay,
it still plagues me today.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and but I didn't have a concept of that until I read that book, and I was like, oh, you know, they put me in early, so. Obviously, I was at a physical disadvantage, right?
And mental.
Mental, too.
Everything.
Oh. Right.
You pick last.
Yeah.
And people didn't believe me when I was telling them that. I said, the reason why I wasn't good in team sports is because they wouldn't pick me.
Yeah, same.
They would never pick me. And I had a kid that was handicapped.
Oh.
They'd pick him before me.
Over you.
Because he was stronger. If we played kickball or softball.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone could throw Lance around. Anyway, so you had that issue with your father putting you in too early.
Yeah, and I guess that's why I was kind of forced to succeed academically, you know,
okay.
Because I'm last in the class athletically, but I would be top of the class, you know, academically. And honestly, I didn't put that much effort into it. It just came, you know, naturally.
You did the homework they told you to
do. I did the homework, yeah. I didn't do any extra study class or, you know, my parents never really forced me to do that.
Really?
Like, yeah, it wasn't explicitly, you know, said that I have to get 100% or I have to get straight A's.
You get into junior high school and you started finding your own. So now you start becoming sports minded?
Well, I really like basketball. I think at that time, you know, Jordan was doing his thing. And, you know, I'm from New York, so we had the Knicks. And that was still might be the peak of the Knicks, honestly. And yeah, all my friends were into it. And, you know, we would watch games, we'd go to games. And I tried to do my best. You know,
did you get on the team, the school team?
No, I tried out. I tried out, was it all those junior high teams and probably freshman JV stuff. But no, I never got picked.
You didn't have the strength or the height?
Strength, height, speed.
That's what I'm saying.
Anything, yeah.
Pick it on, Had you been their same age, you might have been able to get in there.
Maybe.
You'd be able to shoot if you could shoot really good.
It could be, you know. Yeah. And I think similar to your story, like that kind of pushed me into dance, right? And because that was, hip hop was huge, right? I grew up, you know, in the hip hop culture. And
with all those Korean kids in your school too, because they made black guys, the black guys start saying, what the
hell?
We might have started it, but you guys finished it. They were doing insane stuff, man.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
So how far, tell me some of the stuff you did. What'd you get up to?
Yeah, so I was a competitive breakdancer, for years, actually. And I eventually started teaching dance too.
Really?
And I entered tons of like contests, battles, tournaments. Like I traveled actually, you know, to enter different competitions and that was later in college. But in high school I would go to different, you know, local schools and just challenge the local crew or whatever. And
what were some of your favorite moves?
My favorite, if you want to get into it, I was a popper, right?
Okay.
So, you know, like more stand-up stuff, you know, yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, I had a lot of my own moves, you know, and I still think I can hold my own.
You can hold your own.
Yeah. Still to this day, yeah.
Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. So tell me this. Do you have a video that you really like that you've had taken of you?
You know, that this is all before social media, right?
So you have nothing.
I found one from almost 20 years ago when I was in college. Yeah. But I really wish there was, because in my mind it would be cool. Maybe if someone had a video, it wasn't so cool. But yeah, that was where I found my confidence, honestly. You know, is because I started winning, and then people started to, you know, say like, you know, hey, are you gonna dance next week? Or hey, you know, can you do that move?
This is in your school.
Yeah. And you know, I went from being this shy, quiet, you know.
What was your Asian name? Kid. What was your name? Did you have a name?
No, I didn't. They
just knew
it was
Alex.
It was just Alex. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And yeah, I know. I don't know why we didn't have names yet. But yeah. Then that brought me out of the shadows, I guess. And You know, I could hang out with the cool kids, or I could go to the dances. I could go.
Because they knew you'd come in and you'd pop.
Yeah, I would be the show. Instead of being, you know, the quiet, funny guy, whatever,
right.
Then I would be actually, you know, whatever, like the star.
And they gave you some clout.
Yeah, it did. It gave me a lot. And that really helped me out. I think.
So you had guys that would basically protect you. They wanted to protect their asset.
Yeah, I guess.
If you were somewhere, they don't mess with Alex, man, nah. Because he's going to be putting on the show next week.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. Yeah,
you don't
right.
mess with him.
Yeah. Or they would, you know, they would invite me to other parties or other dances. And like, hey, you know, this is
so
our,
you
this
could
is
go
guy.
To any. You got mixed up in all the groups.
Yeah.
But not everybody that was Asian could do that.
No. Yeah, you're right. Because another part that goes into that is, you know, I'm third generation.
Okay.
Right. So that means my grandparents came over. They were the first ones in America. My dad's from Queens. My mom's from Manhattan. Yeah. And I'm the product of that. So I didn't have that, I guess, kind of pressure to succeed that a lot of other Asians, first or second generation friends, all of my friends actually, were all first or second generation. And yeah, they had more of a pressure to, you know, kind of make it big for, you know, get that American dream. You know, my parents were a lot more hands off with that. And yeah, I appreciate them for that. You know, and they let me just, you know, travel and spin on my head, you know, like going to all those events. And
did you ever have any injuries as a result of breaking?
Tons. Yeah.
Like what? What were some of the injuries?
Still now, like my knees. Like I remember one time I was spinning. You know,
okay.
And I actually, I don't know, I was too close to like a beam,
okay.
a building beam, and like my foot crashed into it, and I was kind of, you know, in the heat of the battle, you still got the adrenaline, whatever.
Right.
But then like 2 or 3 weeks later, I was like, oh, something still hurts here. And then I still let it go. And then probably, it was about a month and a half later, I finally went to the doctor and I got an x-ray. And yeah, they showed me the bones in your feet. And the doctor was like, oh, you know, you see this? Like this, you actually broke your foot, but this extra layer, you know, it's the recovery.
Trying
because
to heal.
Because these things take, you know, 5 to 6 weeks to heal, and it's been 5 or 6 weeks. So I didn't know, but I was walking around with a broken foot for over almost 2 months.
But it didn't deform or anything.
No. Luckily, yeah, he said that same thing. He was like, you're lucky it grew in strength.
It grew straight, because it could have been off or something or whatever.
Yep. So now I'm older, so I could feel the weather in there, you know. It's funny.
As a gymnast, I have some of the same things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you start to know. But mine are more tendons.
Tendons, yeah.
I pulled both my Achilles tendons. Ooh. 2 years apart.
Ouch.
Doing the same skill.
Really?
Yeah. Did you learn how to tumble at all?
No, but a lot of my friends did.
Oh, they did? Yeah, that was big.
They're really close, you know.
Right.
You know,
well, see, the thing is, I used to always say, when I first started seeing it, because I saw the first breakdance movies when they first came out, because I liked all that. And I stayed up to it, close. I was a good dancer too, and I won contests, but the old style, the Soul Train style.
Okay.
So I won that, but I was in the military when I won.
Oh.
That's one big thing, and they paid you money.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was go to a club, and it was all black club, and you dance. And I picked the girl that I thought was the best dancer, and she didn't have anybody with her, and she was nervous, and we were, you know, doing some the old style robot and everything. We could. I couldn't isolate like that, but still, I hadn't practiced that way, but still. Mm. I was doing my thing, and we won. And I gave her all the money, let her take all the money.
Nice.
I was in the service, I had an income. It was not about that for me. It was just, I was surprised we won. And she really froze. And I danced around her and made it look like it was part of it. So let's go on. So you get into high school. what happened. So you being a break dancer.
Yeah.
What's the highest award you won? Did you win any money doing it?
Oh yeah, it was all money. Yeah. It was dance contests and side bets.
What's the biggest money you've made doing that?
No, it was probably $100 too. Yeah, because that time it wasn't so big yet.
But that was a lot of money still.
It was a lot of money.
Just to be dancing, do something you love doing?
Yeah. No, we used to do it on the street. So, I had my friends and we would just, we would say like, hey, want to get some pizza, but we don't have any money. So we would just put somebody's hat down and just, start dancing around it. And people would give us money. Then we'd take that and just go, order a pizza. Like that was, a little bit of entrepreneurial.
Isn't that nice? Activity. Being able to get paid for something you can do.
Yeah. And have fun. Like we were really just practicing anyway. Well, let's just put our hat down.
How many of you were there? Were you all Asian?
No. We had black kids, Hispanic kids, mostly Koreans actually. Yeah,
they were killing.
And you know it. that's where I got it from. It was small. It was like four or five of us, not that many.
Did you ever feel like I wish I were Korean?
At that time, yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Really.
Because it was crazy though, because I don't know how my friends did it, but we would be dancing on the streets, but they'd also be top of the class and top violinist and whatever, doing all these other every single extra.
All your Korean friends?
All of them. And no, there was one guy who was just top everything, right? And somehow he had time to spin around in the streets with me. And that was my main thing. And that was it, right? Everything else kind of fell apart, academics, whatever. But this other guy, he was just top everything, I don't know how he did it. He
balanced. Are you in contact with him now?
No, he actually moved back to Korea, and I lost contact with him. So this is all before social media too. So
that's good.
It was something different in the way they were raised.
So would you really focus on outside of dancing when you were in high school?
That was it. That was really it. And I joined the track team to help my breakdancing actually. Because I needed more cardio, I realized. Because I was getting tired in the battles, so I was like, what can I do? Basketball is not going to take me. Okay, running, track, And
so what'd you run? What'd you do?
Sprint. I was a sprinter. A sprinter and a jumper.
Okay.
And for me, it was just a good way to work out, actually. And that's when I first started going to the gym and, regular training and, my cardio.
So how old were you at that time, around 14, 15?
Yeah, around that time. Okay. Yeah. And I did that until the end of high school, but that was always a supplement to the dancing, and that was the main thing.
So where'd you go from high school?
Then I went to college. I went to Boston, Tufts University, and so I guess my academics kind of held up.
You go to Tufts, man. You got to, man.
Yeah, and I totally fell off the academic train on that.
Did you?
And I went just pure to, dancing and partying.
In college?
In college, yeah.
Yeah, of course, because they kind of leave it. Now it's up to you, kind of.
Yeah.
No guidance.
But
did you make it through? Did you finish?
Oh, I did. I finished, yeah.
What kind of degree did you get?
Computer science.
Computer science?
Yeah, can you believe?
What made you decide to go that direction?
It was because I had enough credits to graduate on time. I changed my major probably, 10 times.
What was the first one? Do you remember the first, what you really thought you were going to do?
It was mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'd always thought engineering would be my thing. I don't remember really going to class for that. I really changed my major 10 times. And then at the end of it, when you get close to graduation, I was like, okay, I just want to graduate on time. And it turns out I had the most credits in computer science, so I just took the programming courses. And looking back now, I can't believe that it's blown up as it has, and everybody's talking about computer science and programming. But this is 20 years ago. I graduated 2005, and at that time, I was one of 10 people in my class, my whole graduating class, to finish with that major. Mm. And so now it looks like I had some foresight or something, but I really, yeah.
Were you able to use it at all?
Now I use it, finally, yeah.
Oh, now you use it?
Yeah, it took me, really, until 3 years ago to finally use it. But no, I basically spent my college days, dancing and competing and partying, yeah.
Okay.
And that was,
So when you finished, what was the first job you got when you finished college?
So that's when I came here. I graduated, 2005. I came here January 2006.
What made you decide to come here?
So I loved dance, but I knew there was no career in dance, unfortunately. If I wanted to go on Broadway or something, I would need more formal training, And there was a route for, classical dancers, ballet and, jazz dance. I don't know. But for hip hop at that time, there was really no career path. Still now, I don't even know if it exists now. But I love performance and I love being on stage. And how can I make a living from that? And I knew I could dance, so I knew I had rhythm and I could follow a beat. So that evolved into DJing. Because I never learned how to play a music instrument, and I can't read a scale, I can't read any notes. But DJing is just rhythm, really. And if you could follow a beat, you can DJ.
That's not true.
Well, you need a little practice. You need a little practice.
That is not true.
Little practice.
I tried it one time, and that was one time too many. No, this DJing is not easy. It looks easy when you're good at it. So how long did it take? How long have you been DJing?
Oh yeah. So in my final year of college, I started. I bought my first pair of decks, and I just started practicing. And
Were you doing albums or CDs, or what'd you do?
Oh, no, it's vinyl.
You're doing vinyl?
Yeah. This is still early 2000s, so yeah. Wow. CDs didn't exist.
They didn't do that. Because some people DJ with CDs now.
Laptops now.
That's right. They just use the laptops.
Yeah. No, but I came in the older generation, and it was still, everything was analog. And
and had to time it and everything.
Yeah.
And listen to it so you knew when to bring the track in, right?
Read the grooves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You could tell by the grooves. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was a real jumping beat or what? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So that's how it came out. And so this is also really random circumstance of events that I was throwing parties a lot and organizing events and inviting people. And somehow the Japanese community of university students in Boston, they found out about my events. I have no idea how. But they kept showing up to my events, and okay, it's cool, great, And then, we get towards the end of the senior year, and everybody's asking, what's your job going to be? What's your career? What kind of job fairs are you going to? Whatever. And I just said, I want to see how far this DJ thing is going to take me. And my Japanese friends said, why don't you try that in Tokyo? And I was like, okay.
How big were the events that you were putting on?
Oh, there were just really like campus parties, like club events. Okay. Yeah, they were small. But enough to gather a crowd and enough for me to have fun, and they just told me why don't you just try doing the DJ thing in Tokyo? I was like, that sounds fun. Sounds like an adventure, and I'm still here.
How many years ago was that?
17.
17 years ago, but yeah. Alex, so you're. You're getting ready to go to Japan. Your parents are probably looking at you. Hey, what were you going to do for money?
So I told them I was going to teach English.
Okay.
Yeah. And
they had no clue that that wasn't your purpose.
Well, me packing up and shipping off my records probably tipped them off. putting it in this giant cardboard box.
And they figured you might do that part time, but that was going to be a full time.
No, of course they didn't. No, and originally it was a 1 year plan. Okay. And 17 years later, I'm still here.
You never tried to go back or thought about going back?
Not seriously, no.
So it's been pretty good for you the whole 17 years? You never had any times that you thought, I wish I'd stayed home or?
Honestly, no. I always thought, even going back even further than that, I always had dreams of being an entrepreneur and making my own business. And I thought a DJ is a nice transition into the business world, because the DJ is a product, and I have to learn how to do the marketing and the promotion and the negotiations and all of that for that product. But the product is me, it's a little weird, but I always thought of my DJ career as that, and as a trial, as first step into entrepreneurship. And I thought if everything failed, I could go back and use my computer science degree, and I could always go back and get a job. But I was just I wanted to stay ambitious and chase my dreams, and I just never really thought about going back.
So walk me through it. How did you decide? You came here, what? Did you have a contact before you came?
No.
Okay, so tell me how it happened and how you got your first contact, how you got your first paying gig.
Yeah, so this is really brute force. Like, you know, at that time, yeah, I did have little like CD, or what are they called? Mixtapes, right? And yeah, I think every night, because, you know, back in those days, the clubs were open 7 days a week, right? It's changed now, but yeah, in the early 2000s, that was probably the tail end of the bubble, you know. It was running on fumes, but you know, it was still here. And yeah, I just went out every night, just dropping my CDs off, and you know, talking to the managers, club owners, promoters, anybody. You know, I'm here. I'm from New York. You know, if you need a DJ, let me know. Boom, boom, boom. And yeah, eventually I started getting calls back. So I started making local Japanese friends, and you know, they started introducing me to other promoters and other organizers. And then,
do you speak Japanese?
No, nothing. No, I came here. I know what it looked like, but I only speak English.
That could have been a little bit of a hindrance too.
Yeah, because people are like, oh.
Right.
Like, you're speaking
and
English.
And you're not even Japanese, you're Chinese, because they're hard on Japanese to come here that don't speak Japanese.
Yeah, so you navigate around those things, you know.
Okay.
And you know, it has its advantages, you know. Like, yeah. I blend in, but at the same time, I don't know.
And every now and then you'd get a couple that say, well, what else can you do? And you'd show them your breaking dance.
And
then they'd be fascinated with you because you actually have a skill.
Well, you know, that was you know, the party in a box, right?
Like,
I could play the music, I could
dance,
take the stage, I could, yeah. So, you know, somehow those skills actually, you know, complemented each other. I just kept going around, and I would get invited to one gig or two gigs. And yeah, most of them were free at the time. And then, yeah. Oh no, yeah, I ran, this was also really random, but I was in some club and I actually bumped into one of my college friends, right? And he was like, oh, hey. I was like, oh, you know, we were actually both computer science grads. And we were like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? I was like, what are you doing here? And like, yeah, you know, we just reconnected and he introduced me to another club owner friend of his, and that's how I got my first residency, actually. And yeah, things just kind of built up from there. And yeah, I guess that's why I stayed, is Japan really became my land of opportunity, you know. And I never really felt limited. I mean, there were little barriers here and there, but you know, they're not hard to overcome. And I just kept looking forward, looking up, and yeah, taking.
So where are we today, Alex? Tell us where we are today.
So, yeah, today I...
You're married, for one.
I'm married.
How long have you been married?
I've been with her since 2010, so yeah, 13 years. The marriage, we actually got married twice. We did a wedding here, we did a wedding in New York, and we took a two-month honeymoon. Like, it was a big event. we just count from when we started dating, because... We basically knew from that time. So 13 years together. My daughter turns 6 this month, and my son will be 2 in February.
Yeah.
Now everything I do is really for the family and for the kids.
It does change quick.
Yeah, they straighten me out.
And you start thinking a little bit different about what your goals are and who you're going to be around and how you're going to go about getting it, because now you represent. Not you anymore. You represent your family.
Not at all. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And you know, until 5 years ago, that everything was really for me, you know, and my own ambition, my own goals, my own dreams, right? And yeah, that's why after I hit all my goals as a DJ, and I achieved everything I wanted, and I was kind of lost after that, you know. You get your dream and you're living it, and then. What next?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
what else do you do? Right? And it took me probably around 7-8 years to really figure it out, and a lot of just testing things out, and yeah. So like how I said, like Japan has been my land of opportunity. What I do now is I help Japanese businesses succeed overseas, right? And take that first step abroad. Because I want them to have the same kind of opportunities that this country has given me. I want to help them do that in reverse or in the other direction. And yeah, my really long-term vision for that is that if more Japanese brands or businesses can go overseas, that also means more of those workers or those leaders can come back and then mentor the next generation of people who are curious about going abroad. They can go, and then they can also come back. And you know, if we repeat this for 20 years or so, you know, when my kids finally enter the workforce, then hopefully the landscape or the environment has changed enough to really embrace, you know, these kind of bicultural kids, and this environment will be ready to have, you know, basically my kids reach their highest potential. Right? That's the dream.
That's a fantastic dream too, Alex. I think that's something that all of us can think a little bit more about, especially for foreigners in this country that have done well.
Yeah.
The fact that it's been so good to us that we should find some way to be able to get back to the country that's been good to us.
That's all it is.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Next time you come back on, because I want to have you on again.
Oh, yeah.
Next time you come back on, I want you to talk more about your goal and your dreams for the future.
Okay.
And the things that you're doing right now, too, and how you got into it. Because you told me the story, but he's going to have to tell all of you the next time he comes on. Alex, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lance. It's been an honor.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank all of you for watching or listening to this podcast. And always remember, it's all on loan, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you're too blessed to be stressed.